If you have your Bibles today, if you don't, we'll put it up on the screen shortly. I want to take you to John chapter 1. This is an extension of what Bill was just singing about. How many of you know the story of John the Baptist? Some, right? John the Baptist was a prophet. Also happened to be the cousin of Jesus, if you didn't know that. But he was a prophet. What does a prophet do? A prophet calls people back to God, calls them to repent of sin. It calls them to follow God by faith. And John was doing that in the wilderness. He was saying just a few basic things. Behold, the kingdom of God is at hand. So he was announcing Jesus coming. Not only was he announcing Jesus coming, but he would also proclaim, repent and be baptized. And what he was urging the people to do is to confess their sin, their rebellion against God, and be baptized. In John chapter 1, which is going to read a few verses, we pick it up on the second day this was happening. And John is in the river and he's baptizing. It says the next day John the Baptist was there again with two of his disciples. When he looked, he saw Jesus passing by and he said, look or behold the Lamb of God. You might say, well, why was Jesus called the Lamb of God? He was called the Lamb of God because in the Old Testament, the sacrificial system, a unblemished lamb had to be sacrificed, and that blood would be would cover the sin of the one sacrificing. And so Jesus being perfect, fully God, fully man, never sinned, he was the supreme sacrifice for my sin and yours. And he says, behold the Lamb of God. Look at what happens next. When the two disciples heard him saying this, they followed Jesus, turning around. Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? That's a key question, isn't it? What do you want? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you will see. Now, things seem to be coming up a lot today, huh? Come and see. So they went and they saw where he was staying. They spent the day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, who was one of the two disciples, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who had heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which when translated is Peter. Okay? Hence the Apostle Peter. Okay? So what I want to do is I'm going to bring you back some verses here. I want to look at this with you. Whoops, excuse me, went back too far. Today's Bring a Friend Sunday. One of the things I notice a lot when I'm out shopping in either in ShopRite or the mall, it's fascinating to me how many people don't get off their phones. Even when they're at the register, they check out and they're still talking on their phones. That drives me nuts. I don't know if it's maybe because I'm old or not, but nothing can be that important that you're still talking on the phone and being rude to a cashier who's checking you out. I mean, I don't quite get it. I don't quite understand it. However, it is a fact of life. Well, one of the things I hear when people talk on their phone, and that's why I brought mine up here, when they're in a store, is if they find a sale, they'll call their friends. Right? Okay, I see some hands, head shaking. You got to get down here. You won't believe what I just found. I found a sale. Now, that's a good thing, okay? I mean, because friends want what's good for their friends. Can we agree on that? Generally speaking, friends want what's good for their friends. One of the phenomenons that happens is when we do our Coke giveaway, which we gladly do, our winter Coke giveaway, people will come in, and if other people don't know about it, they'll either call them and say, hey, if you need a Coke, you know, come down, which is what we want them to do, or they will put it on social media. when there's some good stuff happening, friends want to share it. But isn't it remarkable? Isn't it remarkable when we share the wrong things called gossip, how fast it spreads? Isn't that true? All right. Anybody here never guilty of gossip? Not nice to a lie in church. All right. And because of our culture, we have this faulty perception of what gossip is. Gossip is not only spreading lies about people, but it's also talking about them when they're not present. What you may be saying is the truth, but if they're not present, it's still gossip, isn't it? Okay? Another way of saying it, if you can't say it to their face, don't say it. All right? So here's an instance of good gossip. Holy gossip, the old theologians used to call it. Holy gossip. Holy gossip is good because you know what was happening here? Friends were telling friends that they found the Messiah. I don't care if you find a 3-for-1 sale or somebody's giving cars away or somebody's giving free money away and you're calling your friends and you say, you got to come and see this. Come and see. The greatest thing that we can invite people to do is come and see Jesus. That is the greatest thing we can do. And so this story is written for us by the Apostle John under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And I see some good insights here about what a good friend looks like. How many of you have good friends? Okay. How many of you are a good friend? No modesty here, right? No modesty. No modesty here. But here's what a good friend looks like. The first thing I notice here is that good news should be passed on to others. It really should. How selfish that we hold it to ourselves. Isn't that selfish? You know, and we want to monopolize it only for ourselves. The other thing to notice here is that in this encounter with Andrew and the other disciple, we don't know who that other disciple is. We know one of them was Andrew. But in that encounter, Jesus took the initiative. Jesus made the first approach. John was just proclaiming, "Behold the Lamb of God." Andrew and the other disciples started following him, and Jesus asked that question. He made the first approach. We just sang a song, "Your Grace is Enough." I want you to realize the gravity of this and understand this. God always, always has tried to reach out to sinful man. Always. And he does it in a number of ways. But God took the first step. When we are curious about God and his son, Jesus Christ, God will extend the invitation to come and see. I can't emphasize this enough. Remember from the text, Andrew spent the day with Jesus. He came and he saw for himself. What upsets me as a pastor is that we will let Hollywood, the news, political correctness dictate what we feel about Jesus and Christianity. Isn't that true? First of all, who are they to tell me? Who are they to tell you? But the invitation has never changed. The invitation still stands today to come and see for yourself. Come and see for yourself who Jesus is. And you make your own decision. You make your own decision. I really repulse when I hear people talking about this on talk shows and whatever, and everybody offers their opinion. Nobody ever asks God what his opinion is. Well, God doesn't have an opinion, he just states the truth. And if God were sitting there, or if Jesus was sitting there, he would say, "Hey, listen, We were the ones who extended the invitation to you. Come and see. Come and see. Why is that so important? Because we are born rebels against God. That's what sin is. We're born rebels against God. In some religious traditions, they call that original sin. We have that nature not to do what pleases God. And yet God extends an invitation to us. Paul says it in this way: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Andrew spent the day with Jesus. If a person is open to Jesus' invitation, the more time a person spends with Jesus, the deeper the person will fall in love with him. Because you need to understand the love of God in the flesh. You will understand his compassion for you. Jesus says, I didn't come into the world to judge the world. I came so that the world may have life and have life abundantly. The other thing is, God's never a bully. God will never drive his way into your life. He's not a bully. God always extends the invitation. Notice Jesus simply asked, what do you want? That is a critical question. If I don't know how many are here today, but if I went around and took a survey, what do you want? I probably wouldn't do it because I'd probably leave here with my head hanging down. Who wants to win the lottery? You know, who wants power? Who wants prestige? Who wants a high-paying job? Who wants a nice car? Who wants this? This is a question that was crucial in Jesus' day, because you had Andrew and the other disciple follow Jesus, and he looks them square in the eye and he says, what do you want? Tell me, Andrew, what do you want? Is it political power? Do you want a Messiah to come to overthrow all of Israel's enemies? Is that what you want? Do you want the Messiah to correct all the political issues? Is that what you want? Or Andrew, do you want a Messiah who will free you up from your sin and extend forgiveness to you just through faith in him? What do you want, Andrew? This is a crucial question. How you answer this question really will have eternal consequences. It's real paramount. When we say we want financial security, it's not a bad thing to want, but if that's the ultimate thing we want, then we have to say, maybe we're looking in the wrong place. Do we want a career that brings power and prestige? Again, not a bad thing, but there's more to life. Or do we want a peace with God and others? Around Christmas and Easter time, since we talked about the Christmas cantata or the Christmas musical we want to do, you'll see signs pop up, Know Jesus, K-N-O-W, and Know Peace. Or Don't Know Jesus, N-O Peace, Know Peace. There can never be peace in this world without Christ. You want proof of it? Go home and look at the news. Without Christ, there will always be wars. Without Christ, there will always be families that are broken up. Without Christ, there will always be marriages that break up. Without Christ, our relationships suffer. We need Jesus. We say, okay, what did Andrew learn that day? I don't know the specifics. The text doesn't tell us, but I know this. He learned enough to know that he was in the presence of God in the flesh. And he knew that Jesus was offering forgiveness through faith and repentance. You know what repentance is? Repentance means we turn away from our way of life that we thought we was okay, but we find it's sin against God. And we turn to God in faith. He found out that he wants us to personally know Jesus, that he went to the cross in my place to bear the full wrath of God for my sin. He wants us to come and see Jesus and be convinced for ourselves. I will never, ever try to argue with anybody about the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. That's what gospel means, by the way, good news. When you try to argue with somebody, you just drive them away. What I will do is to say, why don't you come and see for yourself? Spend time with Jesus. Well, Jesus isn't here bodily anymore. No, he's not. But he's here. How can you spend time with him? Will you take time to read about his unconditional love for you here? Will you take time to sit under the teaching of qualified pastors and teachers to hear about God, how much God loves you, that he died for you on the cross at Calvary 2,000 years ago? Will you take time to see that through Jesus, we can be forgiven of our sin once and for all? We can be free to obey him now for the first time once we receive him by faith. We can have new purpose and new life. How many of you, when you mess up, really would like to have a second chance? Be honest. We all would, wouldn't we? That's what Jesus offers. Because we've all messed up. And he offers a second chance. He doesn't need to. Because of love, he does it. Because of grace, his unmerited favor, he offers us a second chance, and that comes through faith in him. Now, truth be known, some of us need third, fourth, fifth, and hundred chances, don't we? But come and see who Jesus is. Don't let anybody else tell you. Figure it out for yourself. Come with an open heart. There was a writer still around. His last name is McDowell. Can't remember his first name. Oh, Josh, thank you. Josh McDowell. He was in pre-law. And as a senior thesis, he had to take on a project. And he couldn't think of a project that his law professor would accept. So a law professor went to him and said, "Hey, Josh, why don't you try to disprove who Jesus is in a court of law?" And Josh McDowell, being, in his words, an agnostic, that is somebody who's not an atheist but doesn't know if God really exists or not, said, "Hey, this would be great. I can do that. This would be a no-brainer." Well, he went. He's doing the research, looking at the biblical data, looking at the historical data, looking at historians of Jesus' time, and he couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. He wrote a book called Evidence That Demands a Verdict. That this man, this pre-law guy, had it set on his heart to disprove who Jesus was. You know what happened? He spent time with Jesus. And he came fully convinced in his heart that he was real and that he was who he said he was. Most times, this is a process. All I'm asking for us is to give the process a chance. Spend time with Jesus. You know, the next thing that Andrew did was this. Scripture said, the next day, the first thing he did was what? Find who? Simon, his brother. Now, believe it or not, brothers are supposed to be friends. How many of you would agree with that? Ah, come on, you're anemic here. Brothers are supposed to be friends. So I'm sure he had a relationship with brother. By the way, Andrew was a fisherman. Peter was a fisherman. It was a family business, okay? I'll be as gentle as I can about this. They were hardworking men. But they were also men who didn't have the nicest language in the world. They were men who smelled. If you were a fisherman or a shepherd, people could smell you from blocks away, right? And so they were kind of crude, kind of smelly, you know, they worked hard. And that's not derogatory against them. It's just who they were. And who is right there extending an invitation? The God of the universe in flesh. Jesus. Come and see. Come and see. These weren't Andrew and Simon, who we know as Peter, weren't walking around with halos over their head. I don't know where those pictures ever came from. I really don't. But they weren't. They were regular people like you and me, hardworking people, people who have been beat up through life, people who have had ups and downs in their business, people who went out, they would catch a lot, and then they would go out for a couple of nights and catch nothing, you know, and come back discouraged. They were regular people, and Jesus saw them. But notice, Andrew went out and found his brother. He told his brother the good news, which he was convinced in his heart, I have found the Christ. I have found the Savior. I have found the Messiah. Now, he didn't say to Simon, you better believe it. What did he say? Come and see. Come and meet him for yourself so you can make up your mind. It's interesting with Andrew. Andrew shows up two more times in the Gospel of John. And each time he's bringing somebody to Christ. He's introducing somebody to Christ. By the way, for those of you who have been Christ followers for a while, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to say, come and see. Come and see the Messiah who has set me free. Come and see the Messiah who has changed my heart and my life. Remember how crazy I used to be? The Messiah changed me. I'm not perfect, but I'm not what I used to be. He introduced Simon to Jesus and said, come to you, see for yourself. How can these invitations come today? It can come through friends. Come and see. Come make up your own mind. Come and see. It can come through the church. It can come through a coworker who cares about you. It can come from other friends. Do you know the best thing that I can encourage you with is to tell you that Jesus loves you. I can tell that to anybody I meet, whether I know them or not, because it's true. Come and see for yourself how much he loves you. But ultimately, we all have to answer that question, what is it you want? What is it you want? Jesus asked the question, not me. What is it you want? I want you to look at something very specifically, and then I'll get ready and close. All right, I want you to look at verse 42. It says, and he, meaning Andrew, brought Simon to Jesus. Jesus looked at him. That phrase loses some of the thrust of the original language. In the original language, I'm going to use Lorraine here as an example, okay? In the original language, it means this. Jesus came and looked right into your eyes, deep into your soul. And the reason why that is important is simply this. Because Jesus saw this rude, crude, smelly fisherman and was able to see his potential should he decide to follow Christ. Isn't that great? Every one of you have a purpose in Christ if you choose to follow him. Something beyond your wildest imagination. Every one of you. He looked intently, was the literal translation, at Simon and said, you are Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas, which is translated what? Peter. You know what Peter means? Rock. Peter means rock. Andrew and Peter. Andrew introduces Peter to Jesus. And Peter goes on to be one of the main apostles. this rude, crude fisherman. Now, I don't have time to tell you the story in full, but this rude and crude fisherman took a long, long time to start to get the rough edges off. And that's where you can pick it up in the Gospels, because we're not going to be perfect instantly. But Jesus saw his potential. You see, only Jesus can change the hearts of men and women. Only he can do that. Nobody else can do that. That's why laws don't work. Now, we need laws to keep order. Don't misunderstand me. But you can never change a person's character by laws. Only God can do that through Jesus Christ. How do I know? I've used this example many times. I almost got hit by somebody on Friday who was on their phone, looking at their phone while he was driving and came over into my lane. We have laws on the books. Didn't stop him. Has it stopped you? Only Jesus can change us from the inside out so that we are free from sin. We are free from ourselves. We are free to follow him and please him as we grow in him. How will you respond to the invitation? Will you ignore it? You realize you can't ignore an invitation? Really? You understand that? You ever get an invitation that says RSVP and you really don't want to go? And you figure if you ignore it, you'll skate by? Ignoring it is what? It's a no. Isn't it? Okay. You may not want to admit it, but it's a no. You could ignore it. You can consider it seriously, and you could accept it. But spend time with Jesus before you make that decision. Every invitation demands a response. How will you respond? Will you accept it and come and see Jesus? Will we come to know him as our personal Lord and Savior? Listen, if we had time today, I'd ask for some personal testimonies of people. But I don't think there's one of us in here who have been walking with the Lord for a while who would say that if I didn't come to Christ by faith, I'd be in a far different place right now. Some might even say they might not even be here today. Only Jesus can change hearts and give new purpose. Come and see. I want to thank our guests for coming today. We're going to close with a song before the benediction. I ask the praise team to come up.